became a well known as a because it was a secure stockade. The federal government rented it. Actually, they loaned it to the Department of Justice, and it became one of the maximum security penitentiaries in the country, second only to Alcatraz. You cannot be when Alcatraz was a prison, you could not be paroled from Alcatraz. You could be paroled from Leavenworth. But in fact, my dad's first job when he signed on to Leavenworth was manning a Thompson submachine gun across the cell from Al Capone, who was on his way from Chicago to Alcatraz. So I was born there. I lived there till we were eight, till I was 8 years old. And then the Department of Army needed the fort back. In the interim, they had built a prison up to the Missouri River a little bit, which is the Leavenworth prison that everybody now knows about. And the Army wanted the fort back for secure POWs. So they moved all the officers to some place. And because of the fraternalistic connection between Leavenworth and Fort Leavenworth and Alcatraz, it was a matter of honor amongst guards at Leavenworth that they would apply to go to Alcatraz. So my dad applied. My mother, hoping, of course, that this wouldn't happen, because the families of officers live on the compound, typically. So, I could have moved at age eight to Alcatraz. He didn't get the job. They sent him to a minimum security penitentiary in Texarkana, Texas, which is where I spent from age 8 to age 16 when I went away to college.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between a maximum and minimum security penitentiary in the federal system is huge. Mm-hmm. First of all, most of the violent crimes are not federal crimes. They're state crimes. So Sing Sing or San Quentin, likely to have people who are more instantly violent than... Al Capone is caught for tax evasion. Right? And minimum security penitentiaries have people like E. Howard Hunt and Gordon Liddy and so on in them. Texarkana was a minimum security penitentiary that had people who were mail fraud, opening the mail and taking a little money out of it and all that kind of stuff. So, and the inmates at those places, they do things. They work a farm and they make brushes and all that kind of stuff. And they built the houses. They're out on the prison compound. So we were among the first families to move out there. But as an eight-year-old, there's nothing to do except go watch the inmates build houses and gradually build friendships with the inmates. And later on, I played ball with them and so on. And I developed some friendships with these guys. And what I'm doing now... and I have a company that I started a few years ago that helps juvenile offenders. That's what I started doing, is helping juvenile offenders figure out how to manage their anger and walk away from fights. We've been so extremely successful with it that we're now in six counties in California.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the entire alternative school system in Los Angeles County, all 60 schools. And we're in places across the country, both regular schools court-appointed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you learn when you grow up with people. I was, to some degree, it's an exaggeration for sure, but in a way I was kind of their kid too, right? I'd go sliding into second base and somebody would, try to make sure that I knew he'd tag me even though I might be safe, just in case. He says, if you were lucky enough to make it to the majors, I want you to remember that tag. This happened to a few kids who happened to grow up there. So there were half a dozen of us who did this, played ball with inmates and fooled around, on the reservation. There's nothing else to do. East Texas is an unusual place to grow up. in the period that I was there. The high school classmate that everybody would instantly know, not classmate, but in the high school, he was ahead of me, was Ross Perot.
Mm-hmm.
And high school did, you know, we got a good high education at an East Texas high school, which meant athletics came first. And in this high school, really good instruction in English, 2 Shakespeare plays per year, lots of writing experience, lots of poetry. Good students left out of high school when they went to college. They didn't ace out a freshman English. The English department thought, oh, what's going on here? You know, this guy's goofing off. Everything else was okay. I happened to be a musician. So when it came time for me to figure out, I thought I wanted to be a jazz trombonist.
Mm-hmm.
East Texas high schools, for kids that were, I was in the Ross Perot's class, in fact, for math, because if you were in what would today be an AP class, it was just that they accelerated you to the next year. Mm-hmm. So I'd skipped a year earlier anyway, but I was in his class in trig, and, you know, so the math and English stuff was accelerated, meaning just that I was in his class. So, you know, the kind of advice you would get about what to do, you asked me how I became an engineer, it was mm-hmm. entirely by indirection. I was good in math, I was good in science, I was good in English, and I played trombone, and I played baseball with the inmates and with the team that was the Texarkana was a Class D Yankee Farm Club, means pro-am, basically. Mm-hmm. So you could play, you know, occasionally with them as an amateur when the guys who were trying to make the big leagues. We never thought we were trying to make the big leagues.